Amen. Well, I've got a message today that is fresh from the oven. The Lord has been dealing with me about this topic all week long. And you know, those are the best messages is when you actually have to live them before you speak them. And so I'm actually still in the midst of it. And so I'm excited about it. And it's called, the title of it is Remembering and Forgetting. Remembering and Forgetting. And you know, I have to say, I don't normally share with my husband what I'm going to talk about, because then he usually will get up and, you know, kind of unselfconsciously, he will bring it out, and then he will actually preach my message before I ever get a chance to. And you know, and he's always surprised afterwards that he did it. He's like, well, I didn't know I did. So it's just easier not to share with him what I am going to speak. And so actually, he spoke at the 8 and the 10. He's doing membership class at the 12. But I was back in my office, and I had the intercom turned on. And I was stunned to hear that he actually had a couple of the very same points that I'm going to bring out today. So then I thought, well, let me turn up louder, because maybe I can steal something from him for a change. But I just love it when the Lord is speaking the same thing all across the board. And you, that's how you know His Holy Spirit is at work, when He's speaking the same thing. And it's nothing greater than to know, to hear what you've already heard the Lord say coming from the mouth of, in this case, my own husband. So that was awesome. So before we get into the Word, let's just bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to help us today. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that Your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I thank You that Your Word is powerful. Lord, that Your Word does things in our lives that only Your Word can do. Not men's words, not women's words, but the Word of God. And so, Lord, as we preach and speak and share Your Word today, Holy Spirit, we depend on Your power to make it real to our hearts, to make it real, Lord, to our lives. Father, I pray that You would take these words and multiply it like You did the fishes and the loaves that we read about, Lord, when You miraculously gave it out to those that were hungry. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone spiritually hungry today, Lord, that You would feed them by Your own Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that You would make something that I say today, make it real to their lives. And so we depend on You to do it, asking You and thanking You, Lord, for Your help, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about remembering and forgetting today. Now, I want to say something from the get-go, and I hope you don't think it's boastful. I don't mean it in a boastful way, but from the time I was a little child, I saw that I had been blessed with a really good memory. I could just remember things. And like I said, I'm not trying to brag, because all of us only have what we've been given by God. We have the things that He gave us, and each one of us have different gifts and different talents and different abilities. If you asked me to put together something or build something with my hands, I would be an absolute klutz. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't hold us responsible for what He did not give us. You know, He hasn't asked me to come up and sing like we heard so many people singing beautifully here today. But He does hold us responsible for the things that He did give us. And one of the things that I noticed from the time I was a little child was that I could remember things, that I would read something and I would remember it. And you know, in the old days, I used to remember birthdays really, really well. Now, if you need to know someone's birthday, you just go to their Facebook page and it will remind you today is so-and-so's birthday. So you don't actually have to remember it. In the old days before cell phones, you actually had to know someone's telephone number. Anybody remember that? When you actually remember, you know, the digits that it was. I can still remember the phone number when I was 3 years old. Now, you know, there's absolutely no use for that. I'm not bragging about that, but that's just the way I'm wired. I can remember things. And I come by it honestly. My grandma, she used to remember every detail. Sometimes we would go to her house. I can remember as a child, I would take a friend with me and she would quiz that friend down. And maybe 10 years later, she would still bring up details of that conversation and ask me about that particular friend. That's just the way she was. My dad was the same way. And so I saw that I could remember things. Now let me say this. It can be a blessing and it can be a curse. It can be a mixed blessing, I should say. It can be a good thing, or you can use it in a bad way. We were just in Minnesota with my husband's family this past week. It was very, very cold in Minnesota. When we came back to North Carolina, we both took a deep breath and said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we live here and not in the minus, you know, zero temperatures that it is in Minnesota. But we were with my husband's family. And they're an awesome family, and they joke. There's four brothers and one sister. And you know, when you sit around the table, inevitably you'll begin to bring up old stories, and they laugh and laugh and laugh, and we laugh till we were sick. But I was talking to one particular brother, and I all of a sudden remembered a story that had happened like 20 years ago or more. And he, this particular brother is a very good cook, and he had made a particular cheesecake for the family. It was delicious. And I thought, well, I need to get that recipe. And so he gave me the recipe, and I went home to make it for company. Well, he had given me the wrong recipe, the wrong measurements. And any, you know, I had the right ingredients, but the wrong measurements. It was a disaster. And, you know, I was totally humiliated in front of my company. So, I don't know, I've never forgotten that. And so when I saw him, I remembered it again and brought it up, and he got kind of a rueful smile. And all of a sudden, I felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I really felt the Lord say to me, it's a good thing I don't bring up your failures like that. It's a good thing I don't bring up your, you know, years and years and years go by and you can never escape your failures. Because see, the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord has the best memory of anyone, yet he chooses to forget. In Psalms 103:12, God says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Hebrews 8:12 also says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So our Father, who has the best memory, who could absolutely remember every detail about each one of us, all of the good things and all of the not so good things, he chooses to forget. Once we bring our trespasses and our sins and our failures to him, he removes those away from us, and he doesn't keep bringing them up. You know, and so because of that, and because of the Lord convicting me, that story about the cheesecake was the last time I'm ever going to share that. You were privy to the last time, because I will never bring that up again. Because I tell you what, there is something about the convicting voice of God. That one statement has caused me to totally rethink a lot of things. Because I'll tell you what, human nature, I feel like that we remember the bad so much quicker than we remember the good. You know, that brother that I was talking about, in the 20 years since that cheesecake story happened, he's done tons of good things. He has blessed us immeasurably. He's given us things. Did I remember that? Did I bring that up? No, I brought up a failure, a shortcoming. And that's how our human nature is. And the Lord began to say to me, I want you to become more like me. Choose to forget other shortcomings. Choose to forget others' failures. Become a voice of encouragement and one that will bring up the good things. You know, when we talk about remembering, one of the definitions that I found was to remind oneself of. You know, if you can't remember, we can always write it down. There are so many apps on your phone that you can make notes with. But you began to record, to mention, expend an effort to be intentional to remember. Because there are certain things in the Word that God tells us specifically to remember them. And so we're going to remember them if we recount them over and over and over again. And the first thing that I'm going to talk about that the Lord tells us to remember, he tells us to remember how far he has brought us. Remember how far the Lord has brought you from. Remember where he brought you. Remember what you were doing when he encountered you for the first time. In Deuteronomy 5:15, the Lord says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. The children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They had had a terrible life of cruelty. There was terrible things that were imposed upon them by the Egyptians. And the Lord said, yet I brought you out from there. Remember where you were. Remember how hard it was, yet I brought you out. And the Lord has done things for each one of us that we can recount, that we need to remember, that we need to share with our families, with our children. The Lord did this for me. The Lord, you know, I never get tired of sharing some of the testimonies of the things that the Lord has done for me. It never gets old. I've told many, many times so many of the great miracles that I personally have seen. And I find that as you share what God has done for you, it causes faith to arise in someone else's heart. As you begin to say, you know what, I didn't have the money to go to college. That was my own personal testimony. But yet God provided. Someone else out there is going to need to take that same word and believe God for the finances to go to college. Pastor Mason was sharing about someone that's in debt today. Let me just encourage, if that's you, if you are in debt, God can bring you out. God can provide for you. God will do it. Our God is living, and he brought the children of Israel out from an incredibly horrible life of slavery, and he can bring you out as well. What is it that you need the Lord to do for you today? Let faith arise. Let hope arise. Amen. Remember how far he's brought you from. Take note of how God has helped you. Look at the things that you could do today because of him that you couldn't do before. Recount his goodness. Recount his mercy. And you know what? It's a good thing to remember from the things from the past, but I want to tell you something. If you only have testimonies of what happened 20, 30 years ago, you need some fresh ones. You need some ones that are right out of the oven. And you know, I have asked God, I've said, Lord, you know, I don't want to just live in the past. I'm grateful for what you did for me in the past, but I want some up-to-date, up-to-the-minute testimonies. Now, the only trouble with that, to have a testimony, you have to have a challenge. And so, you know, you have to go through a challenge so that the Lord can bring you through. I've got a very up-to-date challenge that I'm going to share with you, and it makes me look pretty bad, so I want you to bear with me, but it makes the Lord look really good, and that's what I want to do. I want to lift his name up today. This was in December. You know, I already told you I have a good memory, and I do, but that's why this is so surprising what happened to me. I was flying to New York to go to a basketball game with my son, and I looked at my ticket, and I had a plane change in Charlotte, and I looked at the time on my ticket, and I remember thinking to myself, I've got a lot of time in Charlotte, so I can get a lot of work done. And so when I got to the airport in Charlotte, I went to my gate, and the gate was very, very crowded, and I thought, no problem, I'll just go to a gate that's close, and I'll sit down and get all my work done. And I got every last email, every text, everything that I needed to do. I was going through my list, and then I thought, okay, now it's time for me to make my way over to my gate. Well, I made my way over to my gate, only to find that my flight had just departed, and the door had just been closed. Now, how did that happen? You know, your guess is as good as mine. I either misread it, I misremembered it, I misthought it. I don't know how I did that. And, you know, I can't even tell my dad about this because my dad is very particular. He's very organized. I'm afraid he'd disown me as a daughter if I told him what I did. But I can't even describe to you the horror as I realized through my own fault that I had missed my flight. And there I was. No excuse. So I went to the help desk, and it was like hundreds of people long because there were a ton of people in the airport that day that had legitimately missed flights because of, you know, the airport and the airplanes. I missed it through my own carelessness. So I'm standing in line, and I stood in line for at least an hour and a half. Now, I'm glad that it was painful enough that I can safely say I will never repeat that again. I will never do what I did that day again. It was painful, and that was a good thing. But I remember getting up to the help desk, and the woman looked at me and looked at my flight. She thought, well, what happened? And I said, I don't even know what happened. I misjudged my time. So then she sent me across the airport to another gate to be on standby. Well, there was 40 people on standby. So I didn't make that flight. So then they sent me back across on the other side of the airport to be on standby again. And I approached, you know, by this time I'm feeling about that big. You know, any self-esteem that I ever had was gone out the window. By now I'm just, you know, calling myself all sorts of names. You know, you wouldn't have had to say anything to me because I was already, you know, cutting myself down enough for both of us. But I went and I just thought, well, Lord, as I was walking across the airport, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, this is my own fault, but I have to believe that there's still help for me, that you will still help me, that you are good. And I remembered myself sharing the Sunday before. I'd come up here and I'd quoted an old song, God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way. And I stood in the airport and I could hear my own voice sharing that. So I thought, well, Lord, I need you to make a way where there seems to be no way. And so I made my way to this next gate. And I approached the lady there and I said, you know what, I don't see my name on the standby list. I'm supposed to be on standby. And she checked her list and she said, well, you know what, the reason you're not on standby is because you have a ticket on this plane. I thought, I do? And so I took, but I wasn't going to argue with her. So I took the boarding pass she gave me. I sat down. About 20 minutes later, I happened to actually look at the boarding pass. She'd gotten me wrong. She had put Rachel Phillips, who was also on that flight, she had given me Rachel Phillips's boarding pass. So my heart sunk. And now there's this, I have to tell you all the nitty-gritty stuff so you'll see really what the Lord did. I went back up there and I'm standing in line because I'm thinking, okay, this is wrong. I can't let her give me someone else's ticket. I'm standing in line, right before they get to me, she says, you know what? I can't take any more requests. I've got to go out and help them land the plane. So I'm sitting with Rachel Phillips's boarding pass in my hand, praying, saying, Lord, what do I do now? And I felt, you know, I'll tell you what, the Lord will lead you. If we have ears to hear, he will lead us every step, even in situations like this. He will give us just the still small voice. We will hear him. This is the way, do this. And I felt him saying, just go ahead and get on the plane. So I thought, well, I guess the worst thing that can happen is they'll throw me off. So I went ahead, I got on the plane, I went, and my seat, or Rachel Phillips' seat, because you see, by this time I could see that my name was on the standby list. It was up on the wall, Miriam Phillips, and there was another 40 people on standby. So I went and got on the plane, sat in the very last row, and sure enough, the real Rachel Phillips did show up. And she held out her boarding pass to the stewardess. And the lady said to me, can I see yours? And I showed her mine. And she said, well, would you look at that? We have two passengers by the name of Phillips. And I'm thinking, no, you actually had one, and I'm really supposed to be on standby. But she said to Rachel, she said, you know what, Rachel? Because I would have had to give up my seat. I couldn't have taken Rachel's. She had a legitimate place on the plane. But she said to Rachel, you know what? I believe we have one more seat up front. And she took Rachel. So Rachel ended up with a better seat. By this time, the airplane was already backing off. I'm praying in the spirit the whole time. I didn't relax until we actually took off. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. I'll be Rachel Phillips for a minute. And you know, when I got there, it was such a testimony to my son. Because my son, a few weeks ago, he called us. He said, you need to pray. I can't find my passport. And I said to him, you know what? If God can put me on a plane where I didn't have a ticket, God can help you find your passport. And sure enough, he did. And so that's the reason why we need to always remember and recount and list and testify about the things that God does for us, because it will lift the faith of someone else. When Evan heard me say, remember when God gave me a ticket on that flight to New York when I didn't have it, when it was my own fault, and I was going to a basketball game. I wasn't even going to preach. It wasn't for a spiritual reason. God will help you. He loves you. He wants to make a way. I was not perfect. I was totally in the wrong. And he was merciful and awesome. And I just want to say that my faith has skyrocketed for our Lord, our precious Jesus, because he never asks that you be perfect. He asks that you bring everything that you are, your failures, your needs, your sins, bring it to him and give it to him, and then he will make a way where there seems to be no way. So I will never forget, and I share that with you. You cannot tell my dad what I did, but the Lord, I said, if I'm going to be that ditzy, then I need to be able to pray, because God was able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Forget not his benefits. Psalm 103, 2-5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness. I really felt like he was such a loving, kind father to me that day, that I didn't deserve his mercy. But you know, he, like I said, he does not ask, does this child deserve my mercy? Of course, none of us deserved it, but he gave his own life so that we might live in victory. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise Jesus. Praise our wonderful Heavenly Father. My heart is just welling with thankfulness today for who he is, for what he has done. And we must always remember how he brought us from the pit. And if you don't have a testimony today, if you can't say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, I have not experienced the Lord taking me from something, today can be your day. Today can be the day that the Lord takes you from death into life, that he takes you from one state into another, that he washes you clean with the precious blood of the Lamb, and he gives you new hope and new victory to walk in forevermore. Today can be your day, in Jesus' name. Two, remember that trials are not meant to defeat you. There's a purpose of testing. How many of you enjoyed tests when you were in school? You know, some of you did, very few. I especially hated the terrible thing they used to call the pop quiz. That's when you didn't realize there was going to be a test, and you walked into the classroom and your teacher said, pull out a blank sheet of paper and number 1 through 20 or 1 through 25. And I can just remember my heart beating and thinking, I'm not prepared for this. How many of you have ever felt that? I'm not prepared for this test. I don't know what I'm doing here. But there's a purpose of testing in the natural, and that's to see what you know, to see what we know, to see what we're able to put down. Did we learn the material? There's a purpose for testing in the spirit as well. The Lord doesn't do it just because he's angry with us or because he wants us to go through a rough time. Trials are not meant to defeat us. They're meant to test and ultimately to promote us. God wants to take you and make you into something that you are not and that I am not right now. And as we go through trials and as we become molded into his image and transformed into who he is by the trying of our faith, we ultimately see him do way more with our lives than he would have ever done before. Testing and trials are for a purpose. Now, many times when we go through, it's not fun. I'm not going to tell you that it is. As we are tested and we are tried, many times we feel like screaming and like, I didn't sign up for this. Get me out of here. I don't like this test. I don't want this trial. I didn't ask for it. How many of you, I've been there. We've all been there. We've all done that. But I want to tell you one thing that it's not. Trials are not because God does not love you. Trials are not because God does not love me. We are tempted to complain and think God's forgotten me. God's not answering my prayer. He's not hearing me. He's forgotten that I'm in this place. Lord, Lord, did you forget? I'm here. I'm here. I'm in this sticky, horrible place. No, he's not forgotten us. It helps to remember that this trial and this testing is for a purpose and it's for our good. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 16 says about the Lord who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Can you repeat those last few words? To do you good in the end. Why does he test us? To do you good in the end. Testing is not fun. I'm not going to tell you it is, but it's for our good. It's to do us good in the end. Also, in earlier in Deuteronomy, the Lord says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, test you, to know what was in your heart. There's many ways that God has to see what's in our heart, but he uses testing to bring it out of us. And many times we are shocked when we see what's truly in our heart. I was shocked when I saw what was in my heart with my brother-in-law. I thought of myself, you know, just as a pretty loving, a good person. But when I saw the way that God saw what I was doing, it changed me. It shocked me. It tested me. It proved me. And I believe that I'm going to be changed into a much better version of myself because of the test. Zechariah talks about the Lord testing us and trying us as gold so that we can come through like proven gold. One of the ways that God tests two people in the scriptures, and these were great men of God, was with the persecution of family members that were very close to them. Think about it. You know, we think about our family. Those are the people that are supposed to love us the most, the people that are supposed to be for us and not against us, supposed to cheer us on. Many times, the people that are closest to us are the ones that hurt us the most deeply. And that was certainly the case in the lives of Joseph and in the lives of King David. In Joseph's life, you remember the story. His brothers sold him into slavery. They were terribly jealous of him because his dad loved him better. The scriptures tell us clearly that Joseph was favored. And so his brothers hated it. They hated him because he had dreams that the Lord gave him and he shared them. Maybe it wasn't the wisest thing to do to share them the way he did, but they hated him and they were jealous of him. And the scripture tells us, and you can read the story of Joseph. I'm not telling you anything that probably most of you haven't heard all your lives, but Joseph was sold into slavery for no fault of his own, and it was by his own brothers. And you know, the Bible tells us that he ended up in Potiphar's house, a servant, and God used him tremendously. And God had put him in a place of authority because years later he was going to be needed to do something for the Lord and to keep the land from famine. But I love the words of Joseph because I'll tell you what, eventually the brothers came back. And injustice was served, and the brothers repented before him, and they said, don't hold it against us what we did. That was wrong. And Joseph said these words. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you know, with that viewpoint, what he was saying was, God allowed that in my life. So I don't have the right to hate you. I don't have the right to hold that against you. These all happened to me because God was orchestrating events in my life, and he had a plan that he would use me and he would save you. And so that's why he did it. And so I am not going to hold unforgiveness against you. Now, that was an incredible, incredible thing. Think about it. Think about if your own brothers or sisters hated you that much that they sold you into slavery. And you know, as I was praying, I really felt like there's some people here today, that there's those that are close to you that have offended you, that have acted in ways that were not right. And I want you to know that God sees it, but God is going to help you release forgiveness to them. Because like Joseph, you can say, you meant it for evil, but God allowed it for good. And God will cause all things to work together for our good if we allow him to. David, same thing. The Bible tells us that David was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest of all his brothers. The story in 1 Samuel 17, you can read about it, but when David went to kill Goliath, the story goes that his father sent him because there was an incredible giant named Goliath that was threatening the army of Israel. And so David's father said, I want you to take food to your brothers that are there with the army. And so David went off with them, and he ran square into into Goliath, the giant that was threatening the army of God. And he would come out and he would bellow threats and he would say all kinds of horrible things, and everybody was afraid to fight Goliath. And so David asked someone, he said, well, what in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine doing? And what will be done to the man, for the man that kills him? And the Bible tells us a very interesting account of David's brothers. Now think about this. David is showing great bravery. He's going to fight Goliath. He was a simple shepherd boy. The Bible tells us that his brothers came and rebuked him. His oldest brother said to him, where are your few small sheep? And where is your God, and why would you come, and why would you be prideful and totally misjudging him, totally criticizing him, and totally taking him wrong for what he was saying and what he was doing. Now, when I read that story, I thought, you know what? How many times have our good been evil spoken of? How many times have you set out to do something and people around you, maybe even people in your own family, didn't understand? Or they misjudged you? Or they said something that wasn't true? Or they attacked you for standing for righteousness? David did not lift a hand against his brothers. He did not attempt to retaliate. He did not hold anything against them. He did not hold offense in his heart. He just said, is there not a cause? And he proceeded to go forth and kill Goliath. And he did not allow the hatred, the criticism, and the judgments of his brothers to hold him back. When I think about that, I'm humbled, because how many times in our own lives have we allowed criticisms, judgments, people looking at us and not understanding our motives and speaking against us, and we have crawled into our own little hole and we've allowed that to hold us back from what God has for us. And I just want to say today, in the name of Jesus, we must put that aside. We must forget the wrongs that were done to us in the name of Jesus, and we must rise up and run our race with passion, with conviction, and with great motivation, because God will give us the victory if we can let go of those offenses. In Jesus' name, we love and we treat others with respect, but we don't allow them to hinder what God has called us to do. If we are holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, today is a great day to let it go. Today can be the best day of your life. Sometimes you don't even know it until the Holy Spirit shows you, look, you were mistreated there, but it's time to let it go. It's time to release it to God. It's time to move ahead. God's got great things for you. When Joseph had his firstborn son, he named him Manasseh. And that means to cause to forget. He said, God has caused me to forget my father's house and all my toil. Does that mean that you actually can't remember it? I don't think so. I think it means that you forget in the sense that you don't care about it, you don't focus on it anymore, you don't recount it, you don't rehash it in your mind, you don't keep rehearsing it. You allow God to deal with it so that you can forget it. The next thing that we need to forget, and this is kind of what I was dealing with already, the past offenses. Forget the past. Luke 6 tells us not to judge, and so that we will not be judged, and condemn not, we will not be condemned. Forgive, and we'll be forgiven. You know, I've heard people say, I can forgive, but I'm not going to ever forget. Have you heard that? Maybe you've said that yourself. I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, help me to forget the wrongs that have been done against me. I will forget in Jesus' name. I love Hebrews 12:1, the Passion Version, that says, as for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into, and then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. Literally, letting go of every wound, in the translation of the Passion, it says that it's an arrow tip. Many times we're carrying around arrow tips of wounds that have been done to us. We have those things that we've not let go, and it's weighing us down. It's a great day to let go of it. It's a great way to just say, Jesus, remove every arrow tip from my life, and I will run my race with passion and determination. The next thing we need to forget is past failures. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? You know, I've loved to watch some of the stories and some of the things that they've come through. And many times they will show past Olympics where there's been a failure or where they fell on the ice or where something happened that they did not win the prize. And you just see in the natural the importance of letting that past failure go so that you can run this race with all of your focus and all of your concentration. And I saw a couple that was doing those ice dances, and it showed a previous Olympics where they had fallen, and then it showed this Olympics where they took the gold. And I saw the importance of just letting all of that past failure go. And if it's important in the Olympics, how much more important is it to our race that we're running now? We are running the most important race of all, which is the race of life. And when our time is done, we won't have any more chances. I want you to let go of every past failure now. Many times, the enemy of our souls will bring up things that you did wrong or I did wrong in the past. It's time to let it go. Why? Because the race that we are running is so important that we can't afford to be weighed down by past failures. Release it. Forget it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, the Lord has a way of restoring even our failures and causing it to be an incredible turnaround. I don't understand how he does it, but Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I will restore to you. You know what that says to me? That says to me there can be years where I make mistakes or you make mistakes, but as we turn to God, he can restore it and bring what was a failure and bitter and ugly in our lives and turn it into a beautiful victory for his glory if we allow him to do it. Some of the most incredible, shameful failures of my life, God has restored and turned around so that I don't have the memory of that failure anymore. I have a memory that is put in its place of victory, of restoration, and the goodness of God because he has restored the things the cankerworm has stolen. I remember one time years ago, right when we first came to Jacksonville, I was invited to speak at a church, and I was just beginning to speak. I wasn't very good. I was very, very nervous, and I remember going to this church, and I remember it was just so difficult. And I remember thinking, man, if I ever get out of here, I'm not ever coming back. I just want to get off. I just want to be done. And that's literally what I thought. I can remember sweating and feeling very, very much like I did a bad job. So that was 20-some years ago. Fast forward 22 years, those same people invited me back. And I remember thinking, but I said I would never go back. And the Lord really dealt with me about that. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you can restore what was done, then who am I to say no? And so I said, yes, I will go. And I went with trepidation. I went with fear. But I'll tell you what, the Lord totally turned that whole situation around. And it was as different as night from day. It was as far away, as the Bible says, as the east from the west. It was incredibly different. What felt like a failure then was turned into a very sweet victory. And many, many people were changed, not because of me, but because of the goodness of God. And I'll tell you that because he can do the same thing for you. I will restore, the Lord says, the years the cankerworm has devoured. Think of the worst failure of your life. Have you given it to Jesus? Because he can turn it around, and he can make a bitter failure into an incredible victory for his glory. This, I believe, is a year that the Lord is doing. He's restoring things, he's turning things around, and he's doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. I think it's important, as we're talking about remembering, that we remember the lessons when the Lord disciplined us so that we don't repeat the same wrong things, but yet we allow the failures to be forgotten. So it's a delicate balance. You know, when my kids get together, now they're all adults, one of their favorite things to talk about is how we used to discipline them. Oh, mom spanked harder than dad. And, you know, sometimes we're not quite sure, you know, but those are the things that they remember. The disciplines that they went through taught them some lifelong lessons that they've never forgotten. And so they will sit around and laugh and talk, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, I was never one of those mothers that said, just wait till your father comes home. He's going to spank you. No, I took care of it right then. I was, they knew they didn't have to wait for their father, because by George, mom would do a good job of it right then too. And, you know, those things are what they remember, and they talk about, and they talk about what they learned through it. And so we are the same way. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3 not to reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects us, because he corrects those he loves. So we can't forget the things that we learn in those disciplining times, but we can't allow the shame of our own failures to hold us back. So we remember, but then we forget. We remember things, and then we forget. And you know, I've been talking about our job in remembering and forgetting, but I want to close with a beautiful promise from the Lord. And this was made to the children of Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. We were grafted in, so we can claim this promise as well. And it's in Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. But Zion, or Israel, said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my God has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So the Lord says to each one of us, I cannot any more forget you than a mother can forget her nursing child. I've got your name on my hands. I will always remember you. I am your Savior. And you know, this year, I believe, is a year of restoration, but I also believe that it's a year where the Lord wants to demonstrate his love for us in ways that we have not experienced. Do you know that the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning? He's not a boring God. He's got continual new things to reveal to his children. He's got amazing ways to show you that he loves you. He's got ways that you've not experienced yet. Why? Because it's not a new day yet. Today is today, but tomorrow's a new day. And every day he has a new mercy for you and for me. And he longs to show us his love. He longs for you to have a great testimony of his care. You know, I'm not the only one that has testimonies. I know that if I were to ask, many of you could stand up and say, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you where God brought me from. Let me tell you how God made a way in my life where there seems to be no way. And those are the things that we need to remember. Forgetting the past failures, moving ahead with Jesus in his name. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, that we can remember and recount those things that you have done in our lives, and Lord, that they will be an encouragement to others. Father, I pray that you would continually make us into your image. Father, I thank you that you cause us to be, yes, disciplined and tested, but Lord, we can come through as fine gold. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, we bless your name today in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed, I just want to ask if there's anyone here. I want to give you a chance. If you do not have a testimony, if you don't know the Lord personally, and you can't say, well, God brought you out, but you want to, you want to know him, and you want him to become real to you, I just want to ask you to lift your hand. We want to pray for you today. We want to see God do miracles in your life. We want to watch him turn your darkness into light. If that's you, just raise your hand today. In Jesus' name. Or maybe once you knew the Lord, but you feel like you've kind of gotten away from that. You've backslidden, and you don't have that same closeness that you used to. If that's you, you can also raise your hand, because we want to help you. I see that hand. Usually if there's one person, there's more than one. Sometimes it just takes that one brave person to raise their hand, and then others feel that they can join in. So we're not going to rush. But if that's you, and if you don't know the Lord, but you want to, or if you once knew him and you want to return to him, just raise your hand, and I'll see you, and we're going to pray for you together as a family. Thank you, Lord. See that hand as well. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make, Lord, it real to our hearts in Jesus' name. If you were one of those that raised your hand, would you just come right here and meet me here in the front? We're going to pray for you. Let's encourage these as they come. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm really proud of you guys. It's hard to come forward in a big room full of people, but I want to tell you something. The Lord is so proud of you, even more than I am, and he loves you, and today is your day. Have either one of you, or you as well, is this the first time that you've done this before, or you knew the Lord and you're just returning back to him? You've convicted that perhaps you're kind of slid away from his grace, and you want to return back. Well, he welcomes you back. And he says that you are his beloved children, that you are his. And I'm going to help you pray today, but we're also going to begin to pray for you as a church family. We're going to believe for God to do things in your life that are going to amaze you and astound you. Just like some of the things that I was sharing, you know, he's got even greater testimonies for you. He's got things that he wants to do in your lives that are going to absolutely blow you away. And this is your day. So why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes, and the church family is going to pray along with you. But I want you to say it and pray it with all your heart. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I'm returning to you with all my heart. Help me. Help me. Help me do for myself what I cannot do. Bless me, I pray. And thank you for your presence. Give me a testimony of your goodness in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 You know, young man, as you came forward, I saw you sitting there. I feel like God has given you a love for the truth, and he's going to help you be a voice of truth in the lives of some people that you know. And, you know, I've never met you that I know of, but I just want to say that the Lord honors that. He said in his word, I am the truth, and he's going to allow you to speak forth his truth in a way that's going to amaze you. In a way that's going to bring blessing and clarity to people in your life. And people are going to look at you and think, well, he's very young to have that wisdom. But it won't be your wisdom. It'll be the wisdom that the Lord has given you. And people are going to recognize it. They're going to recognize the sound of his voice in yours. So I'm just excited for you today. Today is a great day. Praise God. Let's give him a thanks. Amen.